Well, you're listening to Press Start, what formerly was your weekly look at video games and the gaming industry, but it's been gone for a month, so, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, which I think was Justin's favorite old phrase, here we are again. Music. My name is Dave Hampton, joining me this week is Chad Claus, one of our friends from up north, over where I live. How are you doing, Chad?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, is it fun to have the show going back again?
It is. I haven't been here since last one I did was January, so it's been 7 months, 6 months. Yeah. It's been a while.
Now, we've had you on at least twice, if I recall correctly.
I thought it was only once.
Was it just once?
I think so.
Okay.
I sent in a bunch of emails.
That's true. That is where we got to know you. Back when this show was done through KCPR at Cal Poly, Chad was our number one most prolific emailer. We figured we may as well just have him on the show. He's practically an extra member anyway. So here he is. Justin is not joining us this week. Justin is out. I don't even know where he lives anymore. We keep in touch. We try to play games online, but he hasn't been doing the show, so now it's the two of us. And, well, if you want him back, send us emails. The number you... or the... wow.
A number you can call.
You can tell it's been a month. The email address to reach the show used to be pressstartkcpr@gmail.com, and that's really probably the best one to use. But now you can also reach me at goat@thefighting.org. Or, Chad, do you have an email?
You can reach me at sempaternity87@gmail.com.
Sempaternity.
Sempaternity.
God, that's a big word.
Don't you love thesaurus?
Is that where you got that from?
Pretty much.
Okay. You can reach the show at pressstart.thefighting.org. That is our website. That is where you can download the show, subscribe to the podcast. Anything else you want to do, leave a comment on our page.
Check out gamer tags.
Yeah, we have our Xbox Live tags up there.
I should probably throw mine up there sometime.
Maybe we ought to do that. If we get you on here a few more, we'll just declare you an official host. Anyway, this is our new format. We're shorter. Hopefully the sort of thing you could just listen to in your commute on the way to work or school or wherever it is that you listen. Let us know what you think. So let's jump right into the news.
Send emails.
Yeah. We haven't gotten any in a while. That's because we haven't been doing any shows. So first thing on our show roll today, the Phoenix Wright albums from Japan, Gakuten Saiben Court Suite and Gakuten Saiben, what is it called? Court Begins Blue Note Scale are the two remixes of the Phoenix Wright songs that have been published in Japan. They're finally coming out in the U.S. Gakuten Saiben, and I pardon my pronunciation, I don't speak Japanese, is the name for Phoenix Wright in Japan. And a lot of people... A lot of people were just running around remixing the songs anyway, so it's nice to see some professionals get through and do it. I don't know. Think you'll pick them up, Chad?
I don't know.
No?
Probably not.
Did you play Phoenix Wright?
Yeah, I have. I still am going through the second one.
Okay. How is it? I haven't played it.
I haven't played it in a few months, so I might have to just restart. But it's getting harder. I'm like halfway through, it's getting harder.
It's like the whole ridiculous, you know...
Yeah.
All the rules of the courtroom kind of go out the window.
Pretty much. And Then you have the whole psych lock thing, too. That's kind of frustrating.
Is that something new in the second game?
Yeah, it wasn't in the first one. In the second one, the psych lock, basically, I remember Justin talked about it. But after each court thing, you go and you do your investigating. And every once in a while, you come across a character that has psych lock. They'll have locks in front of them, so they're holding secrets. And if you try to unlock them, but you fail, your little meter goes down. The whole, like the one you use in court.
So wait, you have to hack people's brains in this game?
Kind of, yeah. Get the right, ask the right questions, give them the right evidence, and you'll unlock them. And after each unlock, you basically refill half of your little meter. Your out of order meter. I don't know what to call it.
Your out of order meter.
in when you're in the court proceedings,
eventually it goes, you know, Phoenix Wright is out of order, please come back later, thank you the management.
You know, when you're in like the court appearances and you try to give the right evidence, if you get the wrong one you have a little meter that goes down.
Oh yeah. Okay, meter. I know what you're talking about.
So it now is part of the out of court experience too of the game.
Out of court experience.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, okay, so if you like the music from this game, and I actually did, I thought it was fun. You have, effectively, Ace Attorney meets orchestra, and Ace Attorney meets jazz will be released in the United States. Isn't that sweet? That's all we have on that. If you've been a fan of Grand Theft Auto 4, well...
If you've seen the two trailers.
If you've seen the two trailers, you're interested in the game. You have your chance now to get your voice into this game. Rockstar launched a website, WKTTradio.com.
Oh, boy.
And the idea, if I read this correctly, is that they're going to have one of the radio stations inside the game feature people calling into this fake radio station. And all of those are going to be calls that have actually been people calling Rockstar through this number. The number is area code 212-360-2368. That is a Manhattan area code, so, you know, all you kids check with your parents before making a long-distance call. And they've asked people to talk about what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with the government, what's wrong with you. Basically... Call us up and tell us why you think the world is terrible and we should kill everybody.
Cars are flying everywhere.
So I suspect there's going to be a lot of fun in there. I actually took the liberty of reading through the terms of service of this because I thought that nobody else would. And I discovered a couple of interesting things. Now, Rockstar, actually just one interesting thing, really. Rockstar is a company that's been in the news in the past. They had their hot coffee mod. They make games with names like Grand Theft Auto, a game actually named after a crime. I'm surprised they haven't made a game called, like, Murdertron.
But Manhunt, Murder Death Kill.
Yeah, Murder Death Kill actually was... That's by the Earthworm Jim people, but the name would kind of be appropriate, wouldn't it? Rockstar is a company that is used to being in trouble and doing controversial things. This strikes me as a company that would have a whole lot of lawyers on hand. They probably listen to the Phoenix Wright Arranged albums. No. However, the legalese in this... all seemed good, all seemed solid. It seemed the sort of thing where they establish what your rights are. You know, you forfeit the right to be compensated for this. You agree that it's a work for hire and they own the copyright. You agree that it's you cannot hold them liable for anything, for using your name or your voice or anything like that. But at one point, you have to certify that you am over age 18.
Apparently, grammar wasn't important to them.
They did it at least one other time throughout there. I forget exactly what the conjugation was, and I don't have it on the computer in front of me. But, yeah.
All your bases are belong to us.
Good going, Rockstar lawyers. It seemed, actually, I believe the mistake was made because they originally wrote, I hereby certify that I am over age 18.
Got it.
And they simply changed the beginnings of all of these. But what this says is that nobody read it before it went up on their website. We'll post a link to that in our little blog post. What do you call that, a show roll?
I don't know.
Our
preview?
Our website will have a link to this, I assure you. So anyway, everybody call up Rockstar and conjugate your verbs incorrectly and see if they get it. So that's all on that. Again, it is WKTTradio.com. And the number is 212-360-2368. Have a good time with this. I think it should be a lot of fun. Do you have any stories for us, Chad?
Yeah, I have a couple. One of them is a bit old, but hey, we haven't been around for a month.
I guess if it's a month old, it's fair game for this show.
All right, so what do the initials MI5 mean to you?
MI5 is... it's like the James Bond organization, except they're off by one.
Not quite. Monkey Island?
Oh, I was thinking Mission Impossible. Maybe British intelligence. No, Monkey Island, okay.
Monkey Island, all right, so...
Is it coming to GameTap like everybody wants?
No, unfortunately not. Oh. But rumors of Monkey Island 5.
Okay.
So we have pictures that came up. It was sent out by Steve Purcell. He was the art director for the Monkey Island games.
He also did Sam & Max, did he?
Yes,
not?
He did.
Okay.
And he sent three pictures to, I believe, Kotaku. And basically he was saying that they are in no way related to any current or existing or canceled piracy project.
Piracy project?
That's what he said, yes.
Awesome.
But they have three pictures. One of them is clearly looking like LeChuck if you look at the first one on there.
Yes, it sort of does, doesn't it? You can't see that, and this is great radio, I apologize. But the picture that this is being displayed that we're looking at is 90 degrees off from where our microphones are. And so when I look at it, I have to look away from the mic. We can sort of fake it over here like this.
So it kind of looks like the Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
But people were also saying how it looks a lot like characters in Pirates of the Caribbean. The movie, the third movie, so thinking it could be from that.
I don't know. He's got a huge body and tiny arms.
Yeah, I know.
Which is kind of a trademark of the Monkey Island art style. Well, he's got a dead buzzard on his hat.
It is Steve Purcell.
It is Steve. That's true. That's true. That's how he draws.
But they were talking about how it will be coming out. Let's see, what was it said? The Fifth Monkey Island is coming. I know... Oops. Hold on one second. I apologize. Fifth Monkey Island is coming. I know some guys who worked on the music composition for the original PC Classics, and they say that it is currently being planned amidst rumors. However, LucasArts has so many things on spell right now, including a Wii title that has yet to be named. Don't expect any revitalization of its classic graphic adventures until 2008 at the earliest. And that was by... see, who was that by? I can't remember. It was from one of the guys who sent in to Rumor Reporter, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, so, I mean, video game press, right? All we do is speculate about things and drum up hype for stuff that's basically free advertising. But honestly, I looked at that and I said, or I heard the words, don't expect anything, any revitalizations, was it, of our graphic adventures, plural, until 2008. You think they might be bringing back some of the others?
Well, I also remember seeing a separate list. There was a clipping where they mentioned Monkey Island 5, but they also mentioned Sam & Max 2 and Grim Fandango 2, I believe.
Oh, both worthy franchises. The Sam & Max games up at GameTap are pretty good.
I think it was Sam & Max. It was either Sam & Max or Full Throttle.
Oh, I hope it's Full Throttle. I hope it's Full Throttle only because Sam & Max just got another game, and I'd love to see the other ones come back.
Sam & Max is also, I believe, going to be made for a complete game. Instead of being on GameTap, it's going to be sold in retail.
Oh, okay. Well, so the last GameTap did have a box. It had a box and a CD, or a DVD, and you could buy it through Telltale Games' website. I don't think they ever put it in store shelves, though.
Okay. I just remember seeing a calendar of games coming out, and I saw Sam & Max as one of the games, so...
Oh, that'd be nice. Those are games that have a lot of memories for a lot of video gamers.
Yeah. It's a great game.
Do you think the new games will be playable through ScumVM?
Hopefully not. Be better if it was like all just one thing by itself.
I actually agree. I think it'd be much better that way. So speaking of games, which is, I just realized, probably the most ridiculous sentence I could utter on a show like this.
Yes.
This is not a video game, but it involves computers and it involves games, so I felt this was somewhat important. You know Checkers?
Checkers.
Ancient game of strategy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's done.
It's done.
It's done. Checkers has been cracked.
It's been cracked. I didn't know Checkers would be cracked.
Yeah, the Checkers is a finite, or it's not a finite, it's a, I forget exactly how this works, but it's a two-player, discrete game of perfect information. There's no random element, there's no hidden cards being held from your friends.
Everything's laid on the table.
Everything's on the table, and then you alternate turns. Well, so a team has cracked this game. They have taken a computer. First, they built a computer that used strategies and was able to win the World Chess Championships in, I think, 1994. And they said, well, that's pretty good. A guy by the name of Professor Schaefer, who admits he himself is awful at this, decided to build this computer in 89, won the chess championships in 94. He says, this is not good enough.
Beating chess isn't good enough.
Oh, checkers. Checkers.
Okay, that's better.
He decided that he ought to conquer the game entirely. And since 94, he's been working on computers that have been checking every single possible move in checkers and calculating them. He now has a database that has the optimal move at any given point in any possible game of checkers.
So now we have a computer that can beat you in chess, and now we have one that can beat you in checkers.
Oh, well, the one that can beat you in chess is simply very good. And his one could beat you at checkers before, but it's actually demonstrably impossible to beat this computer now.
It's kind of scary.
Provably, it turns out checkers is the sort of game where if both players play perfectly, there will be a tie. And indeed, if you put this computer against itself, it will tie every time.
Makes me think of the movie War Games. Make it play, tic-tac-toe over and over. Get a tie every time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And tic-tac-toe is the same way. You can force a tie in that game if you play perfectly. Except, you know, some friends of mine and I were actually able to solve that on a napkin. It didn't take us nearly as long. I believe... I'm losing in the article. There it is. An average of 50 computers, nearly two decades, sifted through the 500 billion possible drafts, positions.
That's a lot.
Drafts is an old name for checkers, and I'm reading straight from the article there. So they read 500 billion billion possible positions and now have a solution. And he says, okay, that was fun. Let's try chess next. Now, chess actually has, according to the article, somewhere in the range of a billion, 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 billion possible positions.
Wow.
Meaning that computers with their current capacity would take more than our lifetimes to solve it. In fact, he said, no, we solved this. We solved Connect 4. The next thing we're going to go for is poker.
Poker.
I understand this fellow is Canadian. It's pretty cold up there, so he's got to warm his house up with all this computer power. But checkers has been beaten. I don't really know how notable that is, but that strikes me as a real sort of milestone as far as computers and AI. Considering that there's no AI here, it's a database of moves. That's actually kind of scary.
People who can think about being able to do that, that's kind of scary too.
How much you want to bet we're going to see a million banner ads once this guy licenses his software that says, oh yeah, punch the monkey, then beat our AI at checkers. Win $10 million. Oh, they'd get so many suckers in on that.
Sheesh.
So, checkers is done. We have the sales figures in from systems this last week. No real surprises there. The DS and Wii are on top. The PS3 is on the bottom. I don't think that surprised anybody. The thing that did surprise me is the PSP is higher than the PS2 by 20,000 units. So, cool.
A little handheld beats out an older console.
I guess that's true. I'm amazed the PSP sold 300,000 this week.
They're still pretty close, though.
Considering. I don't know anybody who's bought a PSP recently.
Yeah.
And I can name people who have bought all the other systems within the last month or so. So, that's cool. Go Sony. Only a third higher and you can have the sales for the Wii. And basically double that and you have the sales for the DS.
Nintendo seems to know what they're doing.
I guess so. I was thinking about this today. GameCube controller, what do you think?
What about it?
Yeah, is it a good controller? How does it stack up against other controllers?
Well, it does have the dual analog sticks. If you consider the
C-stick. They all
kind
of do.
Yeah. But, I mean, it kind of used that from the PlayStation originally, because that came out with the DualShock and had the two on it. And it's pretty much in the same setup, I believe.
Well, so, I was thinking about this today. You know, you have the Wii, it has its weird controller. You have your GameCube, which had all the buttons. You had the giant A button and then the B's in the lower left. I picked up my 360 controller, which is my favorite of the console controllers that I've seen designed. And I tried doing some motions I remember from playing Smash Brothers. Didn't quite feel right. It occurred to me, for that kind of game, that controller really worked out well. We're seeing the same thing with the Wii. Certain kinds of games work out really well on it that don't translate well to other platforms. So now instead of having a theoretically good controller that everybody can use, you have this one company happens to make a system that some games do well on, some games do less well on. If I were an exec at Nintendo, I would have told them, don't use this controller. Make it more like the other ones. Yet, here we go. I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this, other than I'm pretty sure I don't understand the industry as well as I thought I do. Did? Rockstar! Arr, Rockstar! But, I don't know. I think that might be why we're seeing Nintendo coming out on top. They're doing things people thought were gimmicky, but they're narrowing their market, and they're keeping enough games that take advantage of that, that they're outselling everybody.
Hey, if you go back in the past, they came out with the Game Boy, the first handheld. That was kind of neat.
I guess the Game Boy was the first real mass-market handheld. I think there were others before it, but I think they were considered calculators.
But if you consider that, I mean, that was kind of a breakthrough right there. Mm-hmm. And ever since, every company has been doing it except Microsoft, but it's still new.
There were rumors that Apple was going to get into it for a while.
Really?
There were, let's see, Microsoft, a lot of people thought the Zune was going to play games. And for a long time, people thought Nintendo had a monopoly they were exploiting when the first Game Boy Advance came out and it had no backlight. Yeah, you remember people were, for $30, you could get an aftermarket backlight installed into your GBA?
Yeah.
Eventually the SP came out and everyone said, that's a great idea! Now we have our PSP with its little almost HD screen and it's...
I remember I had a Game Boy Color. There's a little tiny screen and all that, but it had color and everything. But it still had no backlight, I'm pretty sure. But
Okay.
I eventually got a a backlight. I got a light for it. And I believe I remember the Game Boy, when you were saying that, no backlight, we got a magnifying glass that had a light on it too, that was made for the Game Boy. You would stick it over the top.
That's right, kind of a top light.
Yeah, kind of. It was a top light, yeah.
And it's better than holding a flashlight over it like we used to.
And it also made the screen bigger because it had the magnifying on it. Mm-hmm. So it made it easier to see, and you could play at night.
Now, I've known Chad for a long time. His brother was one of the first people I met when I moved up here. I remember hanging out at your house where one of your brothers was playing with a Game Boy, and we were trading off playing with the Game Boy and holding a flashlight over the guy's head. Do you recall this?
No, I don't.
We have come a long way in video games. Now we have online play.
Yeah.
As opposed to two tin cans and a piece of string play. The Twin Snakes on the GameCube have been using the Unreal Engine 3 for a while to develop To Human, and they decided that Epic wasn't going to give it to them, so they're going to go make their own engine, and Epic can kind of...
They're going to try to outbeat the engine
slough
for
off. Yeah.
Unreal Tournament, Unreal Engine.
They're trying to outdo the Unreal Engine. But here's the problem. They paid for Unreal Engine 3. And, well, Epic had a clause in their contract that said after they come out with a game with it, there will be some number of months, I forget exactly how many, and I cannot find it in the article here, 6 months, well, to quote straight from the article, according to Silicon Knights, the agreement was supposed to guarantee Silicon Knights the Unreal Engine 3 code within 6 months of it being available from Epic Games, with all the required support and assistance from Epic needed to implement the Unreal Engine into development. Well, the final dev kit for the 360 came out in September 2005, and Epic was therefore obligated to release the functional engine no later than March 2006. But the deadline came and went. Meanwhile, Epic was producing Gears of War to great financial success. And Silicon Knights is sitting there going, hello? Hello? Agreement? Hello?
We want our engine.
So not only are they building their own engine, which costs a ton of money, they've delayed their game for another year, taken a whole bunch of crap from the press about their game being... This game's been in development longer than Duke Nukem Forever. They started wow. developing this on the... It was going to be PlayStation 1, then it was going to be N64, then it was going to be PlayStation 2? No, Xbox, one of those. And now it's going to be 360, except it's actually coming out this summer. But they got all this crap from the press for it being forever, and they're thinking, oh, it's so... It's such a long game. Why don't we have... You know, why doesn't it look any better than it looks? It looks like a really good story-based action platformer, as opposed to a, you know, knock your socks off really good game. I think it looks great, but you know, whatever, I'm a fan. That's costing them a bunch of money, too. So they said, okay, screw all of this, we're going to sue you. So Silicon Knights fired up the Phoenix Wright arranged soundtracks and is serving Epic with a lawsuit. They're asking for their money back for the Unreal Engine 3 code. They're asking for monetary compensation for the time it took them to delay. And they're asking for an admission, if I recall correctly, that Epic screwed up. Silicon Knights has said numerous times that their strong preference is to focus on making games and not be in court. However,
yeah, it sounds they are like in court.
That sounds like that's where they're going to be. They're also requesting a statement that was the statement, not that Epic screwed up, but that that was my bad. The statement is that the Unreal Engine constitutes no part of Silicon Knights' engine. So it does not constitute an expansion of the work under the contract. It is their own code written from scratch. They have said that not a single line of code from Epic's product still exists in theirs. Epic has turned back around and said that the company is remaining tight-lipped. We were served by a lawsuit. We believe the claims against us are totally unfounded. We will fight them. And so there's going to be some fighting.
Took it out of court.
Mm-hmm. They want it out of court. Silicon Knights wants it in court. Nobody stands to really benefit from this in the long term, except Silicon Knights, I honestly am kind of on the side of. Partially because I want to like this game so much, so let me admit my bias right here. There's a funny little side to this, too. Microsoft published Gears of War in 2006, and in 2005, they signed on Silicon Knights as a second-party developer. So, two associations of them are now suing each other, and Microsoft is basically saying, we didn't do it. Not us. Don't talk to us.
They're not our kids.
Yeah, they have According to Games Are Fun, they have been reported as saying that Microsoft is not involved in or a party to this litigation and therefore has no comment. So they want to stay as far away from this as they can.
Well, yeah, they don't want to get caught up in the press stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. This can only hurt them. Of course, I don't know. What do you think about all this?
I haven't really been following the two human stuff. I only knew that it was getting a bunch of press about something, but I didn't know what it was.
Okay, well, I mean, knee-jerk reaction. Some company, you know, given what you've heard from our reporting just now, I mean, what does it strike you?
Well, it seems like the Silicon Knights, I mean, they kind of got screwed out of what they were promised, so.
Okay, so it sounds like you and I are on the same line there. And have you followed Two Human at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, it's basically, well, it's from the kind of company that would make a game like Legacy of Kain. They're trying to make a cinematic game. It's supposed to be a action game with some RPG elements, but it's a story focus. It's all the old Norse legends are based in science fiction. The idea is the old Norse gods were not gods so much as they were people with cybernetic enhancements. And all the giants and all the, you know, trolls and things are actually aliens from another planet. So, man, it sounds ridiculous when we say it that way.
I want to say it sounds a lot like Stargate's take on the Norse mythology stuff, but except for the mind control.
It's actually kind of like that. And I have not watched much of Stargate, but from what I've been able to tell, it's just like that. You know, you play as Baldur.
Except you're not an alien, are you?
No, you're a human. Okay. The idea is that, yeah, it was. There's this stratification of society. You have the technology haves and have-nots. And while the gods are trying to become more mechanical, the aliens have come to Earth and they're trying to become more human. So, in the middle of all this, there's the people on the Earth who... I have first heard this described as the kind of people who couldn't understand why the gods were so powerful and therefore saw them as gods. But in the trailer that was released at E3 and that I picked up over Xbox Live, no, it seems pretty futuristic. The people seem pretty savvy. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It's a setting I like. It has imagery I like. I like the characters and I like the art style. Don't know if I want to drop the full price on it because I'm a cheapskate, but it's the sort of thing that I'll probably get a rental from me. So, that's Two Human if you haven't been following that. The Silicon Knights blog, which I believe is... I don't want to give the link out by memory because I don't remember. Look up Silicon Knights development blog. It's actually a lot of fun reading through their first ideas for this. They'll have, here's us, you know, 10 years ago. Hey, why don't we make Two Human? Yeah, that would be fun. Here, let's make this game have vampires in it. No, we've already done vampires. What else could we do? And it's seeing where they went with it is actually a lot of fun. Seeing them complain about other people complaining about them is actually a lot of fun, too. Long read, but some good stuff in there. That wraps it up for the news for me. Do you have anything, Chad?
Yeah, I got one more thing. You were talking about E3. I have another game that was actually an MMORPG game of E3. And when you think of MMORPGs, what do you think of usually?
I think of World of Warcraft, and I think of Korea.
All right. Well, this is neither. Okay.
Oh.
This is Pirates of the Burning Sea.
Okay, I've heard of this game.
All right. This is basically, it's an MMORPG set in the 18th century. So it's pirates.
RPG. I apologize. You've probably heard that joke from every single person.
It was originally started in 2002. It should be released fourth quarter of this year.
Ooh.
It's by Flying Lab Studio, and it's also being done by Sony Online Entertainment, who you should know from Star Wars Galaxies.
I do know.
I'm hoping it doesn't come out the same way.
Yeah, I do know them from Star Wars Galaxies, actually. And that
not just... too many people happy with them because of that.
No, I heard there was a lot of trouble. They did EverQuest as well, didn't they?
I'm not sure.
That's a game I never played, nor knew anybody who played
it. Yeah, I never played it.
Except for Mariah, who came on the show a while ago, but I didn't really talk to her about how Sony was. Well, we'll see.
Well, I have a lot of stuff for it here.
Oh, yeah? Oh, fire away.
Well, you got four different sides you can go with. You have France, England, Spain, and, of course, pirates. And inside,
it's a nation of pirates.
Inside each of the different nations, other than pirates, you can have different classes. You have, naval officer, who is basically the fighter type, big ships and guns and all that. You have free trader, who does a bunch of the economy stuff and the marketing. And the economy is all player-driven, 100%. So everything made in the game is made by players.
Fantastic.
I believe there's 104 ships, too.
Hmm.
So every single one of those ships gets made by players.
Is it going to turn out like Second Life, where everybody's actually animals and they...
No.
They have the flying members?
And then the third class is privateers. It's basically legalized piracy. So you can still be a pirate inside of a nation.
Sure, where you give a cut to His Imperial Majesty. You run around killing pirates and taking their stuff.
And each of these classes also has different fighting styles. There's three different fighting styles. There's the cutlery style, which is basically the dirty fighting, which pirates use that.
Did I hear that right? Cutlery style?
Yes, cutlery. So that's the dirty fighting.
I'm going to serve you up a beating.
It's the dirty style mainly used by the pirates. And then there's also fencing. And then there was... let's see. What was the other one? Oh, there is a Florentine, which I can't quite remember which style that would be mainly.
Okay.
But there's sort of a fourth, and it's... they were talking about it, how it's kind of hook fighting. You can get
hook fighting.
You can get a hook for a hand, a pig leg for a leg, and an eye patch over your eye. By doing... If you go out to do, like, hard quests and stuff, you can lose an arm, and you get a hook for the arm.
And you can learn how to fight with a hook.
Yes.
That's
you
clever.
You can use your
I
hook,
like
and you can grab people and do stuff with it.
Now, watch what happens if hook fighting becomes actually the top-tier strategy, and everybody in the world is running around, chop off my arm, chop off my arm, come on, do it. Come on, do it. I'll pay you 5 doubloons if you chop off my arm.
So what would you think about PvP in this game? How do you think it would come out?
I don't know. I think people would be hooked.
Well, they have... like, in normal games, you have... Like, in World of Warcraft, you have contested areas and stuff. And people fight in those areas and stuff like that. Well, in this game, there are, I believe, 80 ports. And each of these ports can be fought over and change hands between nations.
Okay.
And the way that you would do this is you would cause unrest inside the port by espionage, basically. You can bring in weapons and stuff. And after a few days of unrest and it being contested, it'll have one final huge battle to decide who gets it.
Oh, and it just tells you when the battle will be and says, hey, everybody come.
Yeah, something like that.
Huh.
I don't know exactly. But it should be interesting. I mean, and then the fighting is basically balance-based. You have this little circle beneath where your feet are, and it basically tells you your balance. You can knock somebody's balance off by like hitting their sword aside, and then you can go in for like the kill.
Now, is this sort of an action thing, like Age of Conan will be when it comes out, or is this more like World of Warcraft, where you queue up the attacks?
Well, I believe... I know in ship battles, you can use like the WASD keys, and you move around like that, and then you can shoot as long as you get the wind facing and the right angles and everything. I'm not sure if it has moves you queue up when you're on land and stuff, but it seems like it's just basically hack and slash.
Okay.
So
that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let me know how it is when that comes out. You can give us a review on our show or something like
right,
that.
Right now they're in closed beta, and you can get to that if you go to burningsea.com. They have a beta sign up.
Burningsea.com. You know, I think I had a background from them on my computer for like a year.
You may have, yeah. I think I remember seeing that. But, and they said like right before it releases, they'll have open beta. So you can get your feet wet and stuff, so.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And that's about it for all I have.
Okay, and I think that's about it for our show this week. We appreciate you tuning in and supporting independent radio, because that's kind of what we are. We urge anybody who listens to quite a lot of this to hit up savenetradio.org and go find out about the litigation going through right now. Or, I'm sorry, the legislation going through right now. There's a bit of a brouhaha about people who play music online. It's the sort of thing I've been asking people to check out. So, go check it out. I hereby ask you.
And don't forget to send us emails at pressstartkcpr@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dave, yours?
goat@thefighting.org.
And I'm semperternity87@gmail.com.
We look forward to hearing from you. Leave a comment on our page. Send us an email. Let us know how you like the show. Let us know what you want us to do. We appreciate you listening, and we will see you next time. This is where Justin would say, game over.